This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen.
He's not a bird. He's not a plane. He's super bad. He's funktacular. He's
Rich Eisen. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Halliburton from the logo hit a three.
Rolling three home. Let the city know.
Earlier on the show, actor Ike Barinholtz. ESPN senior writer Don Van Natta. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Rich Eisen Show, hour number three.
Rich.
That's tonight.
Whoa.
Boston Garden, TD Garden, whatever it is. Knicks trying to close out the Celtics, who are going to be without Jason Tatum for the foreseeable future. Awful news there. The NBA playoffs have a team already in a conference final. The Pacers are awaiting the winner of the Knicks and the Celtics. After the Cavaliers got a second-round exit last night. So that's what's up in the NBA right now. Steph Curry has been cleared for light workouts. Oh. Problem is, game six will not be a light workout. You know, if they're lucky to have a game six, right? It won't be a light workout. Long story short, the Timberwolves are looking like they might play the Oklahoma City Thunder and then the Pacers and the Knicks, maybe. That's the way things are shaking out right now in the NBA playoffs. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. You know, this show is a very running back friendly show. I cape for running backs. They are, without question, the most disrespected, overlooked group of NFL players on a roster league-wide, hands down. Without a doubt. Don't pay them. Always draft them. Don't pay them. Don't pay them. Certainly when they hit the age of 30.
No.
Don't pay them a lot of money. And by a lot of money, we're talking about less money than top wide receivers make. Way less money than top edge rushers make. Way, way less money than quarterbacks make. But when it comes down to winning a playoff game, when the chips are down, you win, you move on, you lose, you go home. Your season is over. And you need to protect a lead, or you need to make sure the opposing offense doesn't get on the field enough as you're trying to stay in a game. Who do you turn to but a running back? And if the running back's not on the field, oh my God! And you don't convert on a fourth down. You don't know what you're talking. Like at least the top running back could be a decoy of note. Yeah, on and on and on and on and on. Last year, the free agency period saw three big names move: Josh Jacobs from Las Vegas to Green Bay. Derrick Henry from Tennessee to Baltimore, and Saquon Barkley, most famously, from the Giants down the turnpike to Philadelphia. And I said at the time, this is a big moment for the position. Giants were like, we're not paying him. We're just kind of done here in terms of also, we're not going to win significantly enough in our estimation to be paying a running back that much money, even though, again, the amount of money that Saquon wanted, and certainly in the time when he was asking for it, half of what CeeDee Lamb would be making in a season. Half of what DK Metcalf is making in a season. Half. Way less than half than what Myles Garrett is making. Just throwing these names out there. Anyway, long story short, I said these guys in the upcoming season, not just for their own names, but for their namesake colleagues at the running back position, big season for them. Josh Jacobs, Raiders didn't want to pay him. Packers are like, we'll pay him. Four-year, $48 million contract. Sixth in the league in rushing. 1,329 rushing yards, 15 touchdowns. Here we go. Now, I understand Jahmyr Gibbs is in front of him on the list, and he's one of those guys that you draft in the draft. I got it. Understood. Right above him is Jonathan Taylor on that list. Jonathan Taylor, as we know famously, trying to get his money, sat on the bus of the man who signs the checks, and instead of getting the amount of money he wanted from the owner, he got a line about, hey, kid, we're all going to be dead one day anyway, and the league will be gone, and the league will be gone, but the league will move on. And that's not what you want to hear when you want to get paid. And the person who can pay you says, it doesn't matter, does it? What is life anyway? We don't want to go existential, sir. We want to go financial. Jonathan Taylor got paid anyway, fourth on the league in rushing. Now, I know the guy above him is Bijan Robinson, who, as we know, was drafted.
Still on a rookie deal.
Correct. But the top two on the list. Number one, as we know, with a 2,000-yard season, Saquon not only gets a 2,000-yard season, but just dominates in every way, shape, or form. Game-breaking, home run hitting, field flipping. I sound like Bruce introducing the E Street Band, right? Everything you want. Everything you want in a face of a franchise at this position, he provided it above and beyond. And the Eagles, to their credit, said, guess what, Saquon? We're going to give you a two-year, $41.2 million extension. $36 million guaranteed. Again, that's only guaranteed dollars for the life of the contract. What? 0.5 million more, $500,000 more than Justin Jefferson in a season, right? Something like that. Again, we're just trying to give a perspective here. And Saquon, all you got to do is turn and give him the football. Justin Jefferson, you've got to throw the football to, and he's open. But you get what I'm saying. But now the mother load. My God, the diminisher. That's how I refer to him because I try to nickname players. Don't care how embarrassed I make you guys while trying to make the nickname stick.
Oh, it's not us that's embarrassed.
No, you're embarrassed because I am beyond being embarrassed. I don't care.
He doesn't care.
I don't care.
He really doesn't.
That's what happens when you're trying to brand names and brand
Secondhand
products.
Embarrassment,
you got to put yourself out there.
I don't care.
I take my cue from Larry.
I'm saying I don't feel any embarrassment.
By the way, that's Larry King imitating Jay Cutler.
Our first year on the air, I think.
Yeah, that's an old drop.
Yeah, old drop.
Anyway, speaking of old, Derrick Henry hitting the magical 30-year mark. And last year, what did he do for the Baltimore Ravens? He damn near came up with a 2,000-yard season himself, second of his career. And this face that he delivers when he's running down at you,
terrifying.
It's nightmare fuel. It's nightmare fuel. 1,921 rush yards, 16 touchdowns. And I said he not only can help make a mark for himself and running backs as a whole, but the mother load, the 30-year-old running back. Yeah, that's just the number. And he's got more numbers now because the Baltimore Ravens are like, what's that number? Who cares? Cha-ching. We are going to give him a 2-year contract extension, averaging $15 million per, the most ever for a running back over 30 years old. Way to go, OG. The Diminisher just absolutely killing it, betting on himself, saying, I'm going to go to Baltimore. And you knew it. We all knew it. Even though we were there on opening night in Kansas City.
Hey.
And he disappeared in the second
half.
He
wasn't on the field.
Game.
Yeah.
It wasn't his fault.
Well, it took a couple of weeks for them to figure out how he's going to play in this offense with a pistol formation or a formation with the shotgun, you know, or you're going to put Ricard in front of him and start bashing people. And they figured it out.
Man,
took a couple weeks.
1,900 yards.
Dude.
Jeez. Weather league and touchdowns.
Now he's getting paid, man. Good for you, Derrick Henry. And good for you to show the way it is done. I know it's a rarity. I know he's, you know, chiseled from Adonis. And he has been since, you know, jump. Just do yourselves a favor if you're bored. Google Derrick Henry high school highlights.
They're fun.
Well, he looked like Andy Reid in the punt pass.
Well, he's as big as he is now,
right?
Pretty much, and he looks like he's playing against 5-year-olds,
right?
Six-year-olds.
Kramer in the dojo, right?
Yeah,
from Seinfeld. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Running backs, let's pay them. Let's pay them. It rewards teams that pay them. Find the right one, make them your heartbeat of your system, and run them like the wind. Love it.
So let's say Derrick Henry, this is a 2-year deal, right? He's got 2 years. So let's say he plays out this 2 years. Let's say he gets 2,000 total yards in the next two seasons, right? He's currently 19th all time. 11,423 yards.
Are you going there? Is he going to threaten Emmett? Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No. I'm saying he's going to pass. Here are the names in front of him.
On the all-time rushing yard list.
Steven Jackson, Fred Taylor, Thurman Thomas. Steven Jackson, Fred Taylor, not in the Hall of Fame. Thurman Thomas, Franco, Marcus Allen, Edge, Marshall, Jim Brown, Tony Dorsett, Eric Dickerson. That's ninth.
So let's say he does get 2,000 yards before he's 32. Where would that put him on the all-time list?
So he would pass Eric Dickerson. He'd be just behind the bus for eighth all-time.
Guys, but what have I been telling you for years? And you were pushing back. I will always admit when I'm wrong, but...
At the time we were having this conversation, I don't think he was there yet.
I know that, but...
Now I think he is. Yeah, he's in.
He's in the Hall.
He's in.
He's a Hall of Famer right now.
He's in.
But again... You know I do like to be right, but that is not why I show up in this chair every day. All right? That's the truth. I of course love to be right.
See us.
I am also, you know, willingly saying, you know, the bubble heat should not have broken up their team for Giannis Antetokounmpo. I said these things and some of my takes are very freezing cold. But I never mind winding up on the freezing cold take spot because I don't live for that sort of stuff. I do want to say this. I said years ago, when he was, 27 doing his thing in Tennessee? I'm like, this guy's a Hall of Famer. I know you said not yet, but now you're in, right? Now you're in?
Well, I mean, he had a 1,900-yard season at age 30.
Turning 30.
Led the league in touchdowns. Yeah, again, 2,000 more yards in the next 2 years.
And is there...
He's top 10 all time.
Now, where would you put one as, I have no question about it, 10 full doubt on the doubt meter? Where do you sit? Give me a number. I need a number from both of you guys. You can throw it in there too, Mikey, if you want. A number on the doubt meter that the Ravens just made a mistake giving him this money at age 30.
Ooh.
That they're not going to get their money's worth. He's going to be like they're banking on a wrong guy because he's north of 30. I will put this number on the doubt meter at 2. I have no doubts. No doubts. He's going to look just like the guy last year.
I don't know.
They might not run as much.
He's not going to look like the guy last year.
No. He might not get as many opportunities because they might pull back a little bit.
That would be wise.
All right.
They might do that. He had 325 carries last year. I mean, you got to keep him around that 200 number.
When he runs it, he will look the same.
Mm.
And I bet you this year they're going to just run it the same damn way.
Yeah, I don't want to see him slow down. He's obviously always been a big guy.
So what's your number on the doubt meter?
4.
Come on.
None.
You're going like Price is Right. You're just going to go 0.
doubt?
Best you can. Yeah. Doubts, right?
No, yeah, the man rushed for 1,900.
Look at it
this way. He rushed for 1,900 last year. So even if he has a fall off year and he rushes for what, 1,200 yards?
Right.
Exactly. Like,
1,900 last year. Does he get 1,900 for the rest of his career?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Because that was the second highest total he's ever had in his entire life.
Yeah. Okay. But the Ravens do know how to use him now. And there won't be like September moments of figuring it out.
But it might
like
be
they
rich.
Did last
might,
year. They like from jump, they know what they're going to do.
In September. They might be like, you know what? Know. Let's not.
He's
give
got the
you
right coach
workload.
To figure it out. Yeah. The right system. The right quarterback. Good Lord. Well done. Way to go, Ravens. Tom Pelissero is going to join us. And then Susie Schuster will stop by as our final full strength practice all five of us together because Chris won't be here tomorrow. He'll be too busy being a celebrity in Jacksonville.
Big time celebrity.
Yep. Yeah. Actor, celebrity.
And so we'll be doing one more run through for Celebrity Family Feud with Suze.
I could try to call in tomorrow.
We could. I'm not saying that's a no. I'm just saying it's all five of us physically here.
Right. Correct.
So before she records Women's Sports Now, the latest episode tonight at midnight on Roku, she will play the role of Steve Harvey one more time. And the guys, Suze Harvey. I like it. But coming up next is Tom Pelissero right here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event, up to 50% off, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it, the biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge-of-your-seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it. What's happening over there?
Well, no, we're just discussing stupid things.
What are you discussing? What's happening?
No, just...
We're discussing answers.
Answers.
Answers to the past yeah, questions
past
that we
questions
did.
Past questions that we did.
Oh, for Family Feud?
Yeah, like yeah, the squirrel thing.
Do you realize, and again, by the way, before we do this, Zan is, my oldest son, is reading some comments.
Oh, people are
about his dad.
Oh, about me?
No, about his
oh,
dad.
Oh, oh, about
me.
I'm sorry.
You know, as you know, there's, we're not talking about it, but a lot online right now about what's going on with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
And with me yes, as well.
See, I've heard that.
He read the comments and he said, Dad, one person says they're not happy for you or your show stinks or something like that because all you do is put your take your glasses on and off all the time.
Somebody wrote that.
You do that a lot.
I mean, what are we doing?
And I just, you know, did it.
You do it all the time.
Well, again, I'm looking at my computer yeah, screen before the segment. You know, I need my glasses to do this.
Yes.
And then I look up, and I'm now looking at, now it's blurry.
It's blurry, exactly.
So I take him off.
Yeah.
Because you're farsighted.
Exactly. Like well, I am.
Whatever I am, yeah, that's what I am.
Yeah.
So then now it's time, like, for me to look and see what's going on. Yeah. Read an email or whatever, or see uh-huh, what's going on online. I got to do this. And then I'll come off, and I'll do this.
Yeah.
And I guess that upsets people.
I mean, why would you be upset about that?
I don't know.
It's nothing to be upset about. It's just a quirk.
It's not a quirk. It's not a necessary thing.
I do that too.
Sometimes when I call a game, you know, because I need to see the stats down here or my board, but I can't see the field this way, I'll go like full Chuck Schumer, which is not great, you know, if they catch me on camera.
Never. And Brian Gumbel used to do that.
You know, like I'm like, I'm looking at the board, but I'm looking up and I need to see the field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
I think it's time for the, you know, get the
a little LASIK.
Yeah,
but I want to do that.
What if I like taking my glasses on and off? I think it makes me look smarter.
I don't know why you would like any of that.
You're an idiot. All right.
All right. Major upset, guys. Major upset.
Uh-oh.
I mean, like, this is UMBC over Virginia,
whoa,
like, upset.
Whoa.
Tom Pelissero zooming in with a hat backwards.
Oh, red flag.
Oh.
Tom.
He just dropped on my board.
Tom,
this different is show, different
Tom,
show.
I gotta be honest with you, Tom. You know, and again, your information is obviously what separates you, okay? But what also separates you, you're taking away a significant part of your brand and your look right
true,
now, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm trying something out, Rich. You've got the whole David Caruso CSI Miami with the glasses coming on and off. Yeah. I'm thinking that when I'm really, really digging deep for some insight, maybe I just give one of these.
Oh, yeah. See, that was next level, Tom.
This is next part level of my annual routine where I don't cut my hair through the spring.
Oh.
This year, I think I'm really going for it, Rich. I think I'm going to go all the way till the start of training camp just to see what happens.
Wow.
I have not had much of a party in the back since middle school. And I'm thinking maybe I bring back just a little flow. A little
okay
bit that I can
wow
pop. So, but I don't know, Rich. There's a lot to
nice
think about.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like full Sam Darnold, Josh McCown, you know, Jets hair insane thing going on that you're going on right there. Tom, I don't mean to ask or pry, but are you deemed mission critical by the National Football League? Did you have to sign an NDA to see the schedule? Are you deemed mission critical or no?
When we get into the things, Rich, that
that's
I
a no
cannot
he is report not mission
wow
critical.
Wow.
When we are no talking question about the schedule, there you go.
That's
you, Rich.
That's
right there.
I'm mission critical. I had to sign an NDA. Are you not
hit
mission
that
critical?
Hit that chord from the Who song.
That's right. Yeah, I know. It's too expensive
right
for us to
yeah
do.
Yeah, if I
Tom
play that.
Yeah.
No, anything that I can't report, I actively try not to know lest it slip out in some venue and then I get fired for knowing some week 5 Titans matchup. Not worth it. So I stay away. I'm going to be as excited as everybody else to find out the 4 games that have not already been announced.
So you are saying you are willfully turning down the opportunity to be mission critical. Is what you're saying for self-preservation purposes.
Schedule notes, cannot tip draft picks, cannot break where Super Bowls are, drafts are. So I just sit back. I enjoy it like everyone else, and then just, you know, make sure that I'm educated on the most likely scenarios, so I'm ready to talk the moment that they become publicly available.
Tom Pelissero, great way to basically admit you're not mission critical. But that's okay, Tom. It's fine. It's really
I'm also getting a jump start here. I will be at Game 5 tonight in Minnesota.
Oh.
The Warriors. It is a whiteout night, so I figured I would just be, I'd be ready right here, you know.
Wow.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Okay. What's the order of business right now? Is it we're waiting on Rodgers, or you're just done with that? You're not even, are you even texting people about this story at all, or what? Are you?
It's the single biggest loose ends, and it impacts some of the other loose ends, such as Kirk Cousins. And so absolutely, it's the, you know, one of the driving storylines through the course of this offseason. It'll go on as long as Aaron Rodgers lets it go on. What I would tell you is it has not changed in the past 6 weeks. Everything has been pointing. If you just look at this logically, forget information for a second. That's my lane, but let's just look at this logically.
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers has one team right now that really needs a starting quarterback. It's in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers took one visit. It was to the Steelers. Aaron Rodgers has been throwing with one wide receiver out in California. It is DK Metcalf, who is a member of the Steelers. And Pittsburgh, other than drafting Will Howard late in the draft, they've absolutely operated like a team that anticipates, maybe not knowing 100%, but anticipates that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a member of the Steelers and their starting quarterback come week one. We also know this about Aaron. He's never liked offseason workouts. He showed up, you know, for a lot of them back during his Green Bay days. But when it came to the collective bargaining negotiations in 2020, he was the loudest voice saying we shouldn't have to do anything until August 1st. There should be no voluntary stuff. There should be no mandatory minicamp. August 1st should be the start. He lost on that point because there just wasn't a lot of support for it, particularly because it didn't make sense for the union to leverage something that players already don't have to do. But, you know, for Aaron, he's never felt like those things were necessary here. And so is it the week of minicamp? Is it the day after minicamp? Is it the week before training camp? Is it the day before training camp begins? Somewhere in that bandwidth, I believe, I don't know this for a fact, Rich, because we're talking about the enigma of the NFL here, but I anticipate Aaron Rodgers is going to end up committing to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that it's a matter of when, not if. He could wake up tomorrow and decide to go to Egypt for 3 months and put his football career behind him. I don't know that, but I would say all signs continue to point right now to Aaron Rodgers being the Steelers quarterback in 2025.
So let me ask you this, riddle me this, Tom Pelissero, who again is joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show with the Dan Quinn look. The Saints, sir, nice. Any shot the Saints give him a call now that Derek Carr is officially not going to be their quarterback, retired, gone, and they've got a very green quarterback room, including the kid they drafted in this year's draft in Green Bay. Any shot the Saints give a call to Aaron Rodgers? A FaceTime, obviously, to Aaron Rodgers.
Until Aaron Rodgers commits to playing somewhere, you never say never on anything. It's the NFL in 2025. We've seen much wilder stuff than that happen. I would say, based on what I know about the Saints, they've been aware of the retirement possibility for over a month with Derek Carr. They've known that there's an issue with his shoulder. They've known that Derek Carr, really even through the conversations about his contract and otherwise, didn't express a great deal of interest necessarily in wanting to continue to play for the Saints. And that's why they proceeded the way they did. That's why they drafted Tyler Shuck, who granted didn't start a ton of games, but did play 7 years of college football and has a foundation in a lot of different offenses. And is, you know, perhaps the most pro-ready quarterback in this entire draft, just in terms of his knowledge base, the responsibility he had at the line of scrimmage in Louisville, at Louisville and otherwise. But also, you know, Kellen Moore coming in. They still have veterans on the roster. Tyrann Mathieu's still there. Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis. But they're getting young at a lot of spots really quickly here. They've drafted quarterbacks 3 years in a row, different coaching staff now, but same front office. They drafted Jake Haener. They drafted Spencer Rattler. Now they drafted Tyler Shuck. Somewhere within those three guys, they're hoping, because these are all throwing darts at the dartboard when it comes to the quarterback position, maybe one of these guys ends up being a dude, and you don't take Tyler Shuck with the 40th overall pick if you don't believe this guy at least has a chance to be your starting quarterback. The Saints are always a pedal to the metal type of team. They've been that way for years. It's max out the salary cap. It's mortgage future draft picks. There is never a rebuild. There is never a burn it down and build it back up. They are always go, go, go. And certainly they feel like they're in a division where they've got the opportunity to compete right away. I don't get the sense that Aaron Rodgers is going to end up in New Orleans. There is perhaps, you could certainly argue, a clearer path for Aaron Rodgers to get into the playoffs in the NFC and particularly in the NFC South. But that's about the only argument for going to New Orleans. It would still, again, I anticipate Aaron Rodgers is going to be the Steelers quarterback. But until he actually signs somewhere and makes a commitment, again, he's the enigma. Never say never.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. The quarterback race in Cleveland, we saw guys get out there, wing it around a little bit. We even heard from the two rookies in front of a microphone. What are you hearing out of Cleveland first blush with this situation, Tom?
I would start here. The pick for the Browns was Dylan Gabriel. That was the quarterback they targeted. That was the guy they took in the third round. That absolutely was Kevin Stefanski's guy. It sounds like that was also Andrew Berry's guy. The Shedeur Sanders pick was because you're in the fifth round and you've got a guy who certainly has higher than fifth round talent. Again, it's a dart throw. You're taking as many bites at the apple as you possibly can and hoping that one of these guys works out. Why not take a stab at a guy in the fifth round? You know, you've got Kenny Pickett there. You've got Joe Flacco there. I would say just going into this, you would say Joe Flacco has the leg up because the coaches know him, because he knows that system. He's functioned in that offense before. Kevin Stefanski's gone to the playoffs with him. He knows that he can trust Joe. Realistically, Joe's probably not starting 17 games this year. You know, he's been a very durable quarterback through the course of his career. But, you know, the odds that at 41 years old, I believe he is, that he's going to play the entire season, you'd probably say that that's an unlikely type of a scenario. So based on what I hear, it sounds like it's wide open. It sounds like they're going in with open minds into this competition. The real question is going to be, it's one thing for, and I know that Kevin Stefanski said, don't read too much into the reps and rookie minicamp. It's very, very early. There's plenty of reps to go around. Well, as you get deeper into the summer and those veterans come back with Flacco and with Pickett, Deshaun Watson's not going to be ready for anything in the offseason. We'll see if he ultimately is able to do anything on the field even during the course of the regular season here. But when you've got four guys, there's reasons the teams, a lot of teams philosophically want to pare that down and really roll with three in training camp. So very quickly as we get into the OTA portion, you'll see how they're dividing those reps. You'll see what the order is. I would anticipate just going in based on how, you know, these things tend to go. It'll be Flacco, then Pickett, then Gabriel, and then Shedeur Sanders getting the fourth reps or splitting the third reps or however they do it here. But that's got a chance to evolve. And by the time we get to training camp, I would certainly think that Kevin Stefanski is going to want to have a real good idea of, okay, here's the two or three guys we've got to give those reps to. Does that mean that you're cutting somebody or trading somebody? Not necessarily, but it does mean you're going to be shifting those reps in a certain direction. That'll give us an early read on how they're looking at that position going into 2025.
Well, I don't know. What do we give, guys? Mid-June till we hear the Shador's not that bad stories. You know, Shedeur is not – I mean, we're not seeing any indication of any of those, you know, off-the-field, look-at-me red flags. You know, he's actually a pro. He knows the grindstone. You're already getting those stories coming out of Cleveland then, Tom? Or am I just am I front-loading it right now?
Well, I would say this, you know, nobody in terms of Shedeur Sanders' approach, yes, his work ethic, his, yes, study habits, nobody said a bad word about that through, okay, the course of the process. It was a lot of other different things that went into the Shedeur evaluation. So I have no doubt that he's going to come in and he's going to do things the right way, mm-hmm, in terms of how he is in meetings and how he is on the practice field. I would say, let's see what's happening if we get into June and July and Shedeur is, you know, getting the third, fourth reps. Maybe he rises before that. If he doesn't, then I think, Rich, you're going to hear less of the, boy, Shedeur's not that bad. And what that's very quickly going to turn into is, why isn't Shedeur getting more reps? Why isn't he getting a real opportunity to win the job? Which you wouldn't have that conversation about any other fifth-round pick. And that's one of the many reasons that certain teams were a little bit skittish based on their experience through the pre-draft process. And knowing when you bring in a guy who's that high profile, it's going to turn the entire conversation surrounding a quarterback competition that should be relatively straightforward. But is Shedeur Sanders going to get his opportunity to show what he can do? Can he beat out Dylan Gabriel? Can he beat out Kenny Pickett? Can he beat out Joe Flacco? There's nothing saying that he can't, but again, we'll get a better idea once those veterans are out on the practice field, how they're dividing those reps and trying to manage a quarterback competition. Because I know I've heard coaches say before, there's no real quarterback competitions. We all know going in kind of how this is going to go. You very quickly get that sense. Let's see how Kevin Stefanski sets it up through the course of the process. Who gets those reps in June, July, and in the preseason games?
All right. A few minutes left to have with Tom Pelissero. We talk about unicorns quite a bit. Looks like we have one in Baltimore, Tom. A 30-year-old running back getting paid like Derrick Henry just got paid. Walk me through the Ravens' mindset here. Tom?
Well, Derrick Henry, there's no doubt, was one of the best bargains in football last year. It's a two-year, $18 million deal that he signed a year ago in March. He was talked about as an MVP candidate for a good chunk of the season. The deal was front-loaded, so he made $11 million in 2024. He was only due $7 million in 2025. So really, this is about bringing Derrick Henry back to that same level of compensation. He gets $25 million fully guaranteed over the next 2 years. That's really the commitment. And then in the final year of the deal, which is in 2027, then he's due $12 million. So it's a two-year, $30 million extension on paper. That's $15 million per year. But based on the $7 million that he was already on the books for, what this does is it means he's averaging 12 and a half over the next 2 years. That's really solid running back money. It's not off the charts. It's not Saquon. It's not Christian McCaffrey. But you're right, for a player who's on what has long been considered the wrong side of age 30, good for Derrick Henry, a guy that a lot of the league passed on. Let's call it what it is last year, Rich. Not a lot of people were making offers to Derrick Henry. The Ravens get him for $11 million last season, and now they're more than happy to pay him $25 over these next two.
Well, and it's close to Trey Hendrickson money. What's going on with him, man?
I would say there are a lot of layers to what's going on with Trey Hendrickson. We know that he's been unhappy with his compensation for several years. I mean, you go back to 2023, he signed a one-year extension, which was kind of curious for a player in that position who had 2 years left on his deal, but that got him a pay bump back in 2023. 2024 comes around. He produced. He had like 17 sacks that season in 23. He says, I want to be traded because they're not going to pay me. Well, he ended up rescinding that. He showed up. He went through training camp. He led the league in sacks. Now he comes back again this offseason and says, hey, I want to be traded. Again, he goes able to go out there into the environment, talk to other teams, have his agent talk to other teams. There was real interest in Trey Hendrickson, but the Bengals said, we're not going to consider moving this guy unless we get a first-round pick. My understanding is that they had a second-round pick and an additional pick on the table for Trey Hendrickson. That was not enough for them to consider moving him. So now the draft has come and gone. Never say never on the trade possibility, but it seems like that ship has sailed. So now you're down to the team saying, we've got the leverage of you are on the books for $16 million in 2025. We don't have to do anything. We're willing to do this. Trey Hendrickson is not trying to reset the market. He's not trying to get $40.1 million and beat Myles Garrett. But he is looking at Max Crosby, who's around that 35 number, and Danielle Hunter, who just got a one-year, I think it was $34 or $35 million extension, or I think it was 35.5, actually. And he's going, I need to be in that territory. And based upon his actions alone, Rich, that tells you the Bengals are not anywhere near offering him that type of money. And you can make intellectual arguments on both sides of this. You know, he's 30 years old. That is old by some position standards. That is not particularly old by the standards of being able to sustain and have more years of productivity as a pass rusher. The Bengals, who is a team that has had a history of taking a hardline stance and being tough negotiators against players, they've bent some of their rules in recent years to get the Joe Burrow contract done, to get the Jamar Chase contract done. They are not right now bending on, you know, what's been their history in terms of getting a Trey Hendrickson deal done. So, you know, this week was odd. There's no doubt about it, Rich, for Trey to release a statement a couple of days ago, basically not even saying, you know, laying down the gauntlet, but basically just complaining and saying, hey, they're not even talking to me right now. And that part seems to be accurate from a contract perspective. There have been conversations, but there's a difference between talking and negotiating. They really haven't been negotiating, from the sense that I get, in months here. And so if you're Trey Hendrickson, you're going, the only thing I can do now, and he said this in his press conference yesterday, is withhold my services. Be noisy and say, I'm not showing up for that number. The Bengals' leverage is, well, if you want to play, you either take what we're offering you or you come in and you play for the 1 year that you're on the books for. Right now, Hendrickson's saying, I'm not doing that part of it. We've still got time here, Rich. We got 2.5 months until training camp. But Trey Hendrickson has been pretty dug into this point. Again, not trying to reset the market, but wanting to get paid for what he's been over the past couple of years, which is the most productive pass rusher, at least in terms of sacks and quarterback pressures. You can look at all the numbers in the entire NFL. He's been to 4 straight Pro Bowls. He's been a difference maker for a Bengals defense that didn't have a whole lot else going for them last year. What is the number that the Bengals are comfortable getting to? Does coming in there and holding a press conference while practice is going on, does that help you with the powers that be? Like I said, there are a lot of layers to this, Rich, and right now we are not close to a resolution on Trey Hendrickson.
Got a minute left. Your next home game, other than the Timberwolves game you're going to tonight, is the owners are coming to Minneapolis next Tuesday and Wednesday. Is there going to be a tush-push vote? What do you think? It was tabled.
They are having active conversations about that. There's certainly been strong feelings on both sides of that argument here. Right. We got to see what the final language is going to be. That's not yet been brought forward to the clubs. That's going to make an impact on exactly what owners are or are not willing to do. There's been talk about reviving the rule about pushing and pulling, which has a lot of it's been off the books for 20 plus years. But the reason it's been off the books for 20 plus years was it was hard to officiate when plays got downfield. And what's a push, what's a pull versus, you know, moving the pile, hitting the pile. You know, those are complicated things. There's also the seeding argument, Rich, too. The reseeding based solely on record and not division finish. That was also tabled. So potentially two things. Usually in May, we don't have a lot of high-profile rules conversations. We could have a couple, and it'll be interesting to see the tenor of those conversations as we get into Tuesday and Wednesday next week out in Eagan, Minnesota.
All right, and I got 30 more seconds. Let's mix it up here. NBA, NFL. Do you think the NFL would ever institute a draft lottery? Yes or no? Tom?
I don't think so. It's going to be a conversation, but I think for precisely the reasons that you saw the other night between the conspiracy theories and the fact that the worst teams don't have that instant turnaround. We know this, Rich. How many times has the NFL talked about how many teams go from worst to first?
I love it.
The level of parity over the course of time.
Correct.
It's hard for me to imagine in a sport that, frankly, is a lot harder to tank in than the NBA, that the NFL is suddenly going to say, all right, Titans, you had the worst record in the league last year. And think about it, we had a lot of drama last year, Rich. The Giants knocked themselves out of that number one pick. The Patriots knocked themselves out of that number one pick. That's what I mean in terms of it's hard to tank. It really is, because the coaches and the players are not thinking in that regard, and you can't just roll out your 12th man to jack up 23s at the end of a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are injury situations. It's a dangerous game. You can hold guys out, but it's hard to truly tank. I don't think the NFL, in other words, has a reason to do it. And I think also, you know, just to apply the standards of the NBA to the NFL, that would be the equivalent of the Titans having the worst record in the league, their fans being able to get excited of, hey, we might be able to turn this thing around really quickly with Cam Ward. Instead, it's, oh, just kidding, the Seahawks just got the number one pick.
Yeah.
They now are getting Cam Ward. They went 10-7 last year with Mike McDonald, and they're building a hell of a defense out there and have playmakers all over the place. They now get the number one pick. That just makes it so much harder to get those instant turnarounds. That's one of the things that makes the NFL great. Again, I'm sure somebody will propose it eventually here, but I have never heard that that had true momentum in the NFL.
And if you're Cam Young, where would you rather be?
Tom Pelissero. Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Doesn't matter. Tom Pelissero, well done. You got a great head on your shoulders, ooh, even though you're covering up your hair. That's like having a six-pack of abs and wearing a sweatshirt.
Exactly.
What are you doing? That's Tom. That's Tom Pelissero, everybody.
There you are. You're clapping.
Oh, he's sweating. He's
sweating.
Wait a minute.
Brow. So he made it out of contestants' realm?
Yes,
he made it out of contestants' realm.
I'm going to a car! Yes! Yes! TJ can win a car!
Oh, my gosh!
Let's go!
This is amazing! I can't believe we're doing this!
I cannot believe
it. Oh, my gosh! It's beautiful. Brand new car!
You
could win a coffee maker. Oh, that's terrible.
This is
a bike. Which is an actual
bike. An
electric
bike is like five.
By the way, if you got the coffee
master
maker.
Key master key is the game. Oh. Master key is the game.
Oh, my gosh.
This is going to take a while. What unlocks the car, TJ? TJ, did you ever watch Master Key? This is a rare game.
So I'm going to be honest with you guys. I spent 3 weeks watching episodes of Price Right. I never saw this game before.
It's a rare game, dude.
Yeah.
I've never seen
this game, guys. But look what's coming up.
My heart's thumping right now.
I mean, this is amazing.
By the way, when did your carry grow this big-ass beard?
Oh, he's had it for years.
He looks like... Are you serious? He looks like Jeff Bridges.
That's actually trimmed to what it used to be.
Okay, here we go. Oh, popcorn machine.
Oh, I'll take that if you won that, TJ.
By the way, you've got to bring in this popcorn machine if you win it. I want this popcorn.
Oh, 41.
You're $41. It's not a $71. 41. It's 41. Yeah. That's one key. That's one key. Grab the key. Take the middle key. Take the middle key. There's five keys.
Yes.
He takes the middle key. No, he's not looking. He takes the second to the right key.
I didn't look.
All right,
TJ.
What are you going to unlock? Oh, you got to do that later.
That's right.
Here's another key. Here's a basket. $584. That's a $58 basket. It's not an $84 basket.
No way.
What's in it?
You got to get what's in it, too. It's an $84 basket.
It's 84.
It's an $84 basket.
Here's where I messed up. I listened to
That's an $84 basket.
I listened to the people.
Come on, TJ.
TJ.
84. No, it went 58.
No!
No!
TJ!
Oh, he only has one key.
We need to find a friend.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, TJ. An $84 key.
Uh-oh. Master key. Right.
Does it unlock the...
Does it not unlock?
Coffee maker.
No coffee maker.
Okay. He's going to unlock the electric bike. No. Okay. All right. Does it unlock the car?
Oh, my God.
Does it unlock the car?
Let's go.
TJ. Does it unlock the car?
Does it unlock the car? He's
turning the key. No!
TJ!
That was so riveting.
You were so close.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
nice parting gifts for you.
I just Instagram.
What did you get to get out of contestants' role? What did you bid on to get out of contestants?
A ping pong table.
Oh,
can you bring that in
bring
here?
It in.
Well, probably.
And we still haven't seen the ping pong table or the popcorn machine, and it's 4 years later coming up now.
Popcorn made one appearance.
Oh, it did.
Popcorn has made one appearance.
Twice, I think.
I offered to buy it from him, and he won't sell it to me.
That's not the popcorn or the ping pong table.
No, the ping pong.
You didn't really make an offer.
I really did.
You didn't really, though.
Well, it's still in mint condition because it's still in the box.
Yeah, $50 is not an offer, Susie.
Wait.
This is Price is Right. I'll give you one.
It is technically an offer.
$1.
Okay. Well, an awful offer.
Which one do you want? $1 or $50?
Keep it in the box till forever.
We're almost back here on the radio program. Okay, very good. Let's all focus. Back on the Rich Eisen show. Susie Schuster is here. We got one last run through of the Family Feud.
I heard yesterday was a mess. Is that true?
It was disgusting. Depends on who you talk to.
Mike, not once but twice repeated answers that were already given. And he says, well, we don't see the board. We'll see the board on Friday when we record Celebrity Family Feud. That is true.
Technically, he did three times.
First of all, do you guys realize we're going to be in like a huddle on the set of Family Feud and Steve Harvey's going to ask me for an answer? Like, it's going to happen.
Surreal.
We need to focus and understand that what we're about to do is repeatable. Jay Felly is in the position to be here. Can't wait to have you on the
set. And he's all packed and ready.
By the way, great job. Check and that. A carry-on bag. Well done. Susie Schuster getting set to record women's sports now. Let's do it. You ready?
Let's go. We're running out of time.
Come out. What order are we going?
Is there a drop?
I'll go first.
No, there it is.
There's Hard Knocks.
Thank you.
I'm waiting for a drop.
We're running out of time. Let's go.
Name a food dogs love just as much as humans do. Let me finish.
How many answers are on the board?
I'm going. God.
You're wasting time by interrupting
her. Here
we go.
Name a food dogs love just as much as humans do.
Chicken.
Second answer. 14 points.
Steak.
Yes, it is. 48. Let's go.
Our dogs love chicken.
Well, yeah.
TJ?
Oh, I haven't had
There's a song
dog.
For that.
Name a food dogs love as much as humans do. Broccoli.
Oh, my God.
I haven't had a dog since I was four.
Peanut butter.
Wait, what was that? That was a buzz.
Okay, it's a buzz. Okay, yeah. Now you go, Jay.
I'll say turkey.
Turkey.
How many answers are we looking for?
Five. Said dogs
she said
top five.
Five. So read them out now. Three, that's, four, and five.
Did you choose?
I did.
Oh, you say, okay. Fish. You guys, Brady loves bread. Number three.
Okay, number four.
Hamburger, which should be steak, but
And
you
got to
be tricky. And then cheese. Not, top five cheese is
cheese. Stands alone. All right.
That's a bad one.
Chris Brockman, you go first.
Top eight answers on the board. Name an occasion for which you might wear lucky underwear.
Anniversary.
Number six. All right. 5 points for you.
TJ.
Oh, that would be that first date.
TJ. You got a first date.
Okay.
What number was that?
What number is
hot
that?
Hot date. Same thing, right?
What was that number?
Yeah. It's never that hot.
Oh, that's number one? You got to.
Sorry. What?
Where's Chudwin?
Mike, you go.
Wedding.
A wedding?
That's number five.
Job interview.
Job interview.
Job interview. Number two. That's so weird. Lucky underwear to a job interview.
I'm bare elegance
I'm
down the street
right now.
Oh. Okay. So name. How many are left here?
We have four left
three.
Or so. Okay.
Three left.
Four left.
We have four left.
Dinner party.
Four. I mean, no.
He's deciding.
All right.
Yeah, no.
That's close. Chris, you're up next.
A big game.
Big game?
Yeah, big game.
Sporting event?
Sporting event.
Yeah, you got it. That's number four for 9 points.
Mike? Del Tufo. What are you writing down? You got to go.
Anniversary.
Hey. Oh, jeez.
Attaboy.
I'm sitting next to you. I said that
number
already.
Number six.
He's already said it.
And
you wrote him down.
You guys, there's two left, and one of them you won't get, and one of them, just think of a big heart. Come on, you guys.
Valentine's Day.
Thank you, God, you guys.
Skip me, by the way. I was going to say.
Bunch of jamokes out here.
What's the last one?
Exams and finals.
Exams and finals. All right. We've got one more segment on the Roku channel to get this thing
right. All right, guys. Are we ready?
These are not good.
Del Tufo's got to just, you'll see the board.
Hold on, let me take my glasses off.
Oh
my God.
Let me take my glasses off and irritate somebody for taking my glasses off.
Nice.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge that I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.